Hey, this is Tracy Goodwin, founder of Captivate the Room, a voice transformation coach and creator of the Psychology of the Voice system. I know what it takes to successfully use your voice to achieve your goals. And if you want to learn how to transform your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, significantly increase your revenue, and create scalable sales systems, you should be listening to the Authentic Persuasion Show with my good friend, Jason Cutter.
Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show. Joining me today, I have a very special guest. This is going to be super fun. I have with me Tracy Goodwin. So Tracy has been transforming the voices of celebrities, professionals, and entrepreneurs for over 30 years. She has a unique approach called the Psychology of the Voice, which gets to the core of limiting voice habits and transforms people for good and how they use their voice. People seek her out from all over the world for game-changing voice training, which is interesting because I didn't know that was necessarily a thing. And then in talking to Tracy before we hit record, like, I'm so excited. This is going to be so fun. Something out of the blue for everyone in sales, marketing, business, life. We're all talking. We're all using our voice. So this would be awesome. Her main focus is on helping you captivate the room. Tracy, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
All right. So let's see how much we can cover in our time together, because I know this is going to be super fun. I don't normally do this on the podcast, talk about people's backgrounds and hero journey and what got them to this point. But I am super curious. How did you realize that you either had the ability to hear things differently or coach people on their voice and then help them and then actually turn this into some form of long-term business?
Well, it's really interesting. And I ran from this purpose for a long time. And the reason I ran from it is because I was actually raised in a family that was that extreme version of children are to be seen and not heard. So I really wasn't allowed to use my voice very much. But I found speaking and acting and all these cool things. And I went to college. I was going to be an actor. And one thing after another happened in my life that showed me the power of the voice. And I didn't even recognize it. Events would dramatically change my voice. But what really happened was people started finding me to coach their voices. Even when I was working as an actor and directing plays, people were finding me. And this was at Yellow Pages days. I knew I could hear the things that I could hear, but I didn't realize what it really was at the time. But I could go in, I could shift voices. I loved it. I was good at it. But there was this voice in my head that said, you can't be a voice coach. Look at your background. That's not ever going to work. And little by little, I was fascinated with the work. I loved it. I knew I was good at it. People kept finding me. So little by little, I realized, wait a minute. This is a very special gift, and this is what I'm supposed to do.
Was there one moment where somebody was wanting to hire you for this type of coaching where you're like, aha, or was it just like this slow kind of building, and then all of a sudden you look back and go, wait a second, I'm doing this now as a thing?
I feel like it was more slow. There were these big moments along the way that should have been really obvious to me, but they weren't. So in retrospect, I can look back and go, oh, I totally see why that happened. Oh, I totally see why they hired me. Oh, I get it now.
Makes sense. And I think that's always interesting, especially given the short term I've known you now, which is the reason why you're doing it isn't necessarily for the business success, for some other things external, right? The maybe accolades. I don't get the sense that that's what drives you, which means when those things happen, you're just kind of glossing over it because you're just going towards something bigger instead of that. Not right or wrong. It's just I could see that happening where you're just not going to even pick up what's happening.
Well, exactly. And when I really realized the magnitude of what I could do, and that sounds kind of arrogant, and I don't mean it arrogant at all, but with what I'd been able to discover and research and could do for people all along, it's been about, wow, I can make a difference in people's lives. And that's what charged me up. And it's the voice and the power of what I've discovered that gets me really excited. So I feel really lucky to have had the mind to seek out what I've researched and learned and discovered.
And I just want to pause there for just a little moment to help people realize, again, the people listening to this show, you might be in sales, you might be a salesperson, you might be a manager or a leader, especially for the salespeople. Something that Tracy just said, I think is so key, is that you found this thing, you were researching it, you were passionate about it, you're excited, you wanted to help people with it, you wanted to share that with people. And if you're in sales, when you get connected to that and you can help solve a problem and you see that what you're offering from your company, it might not even be your own business, but you know, even if you're working in a cubicle, what you're offering can help the other person and you realize how it can impact them in some way, get them out of pain or help them towards a goal or help them in some way. When you do that, then it becomes easier. And then it's just so much about helping instead of about trying to sell and force things. It's a totally thing. And what I would challenge people is that if you don't feel that and you don't get it and you feel like you have to force the sales or you're just not excited about it, look for something different to sell or maybe a different career, because it's just going to be a challenge the whole time until you find that. Once you find a way that you can impact people, even if it's selling marketing software, then it's a home run. So anyway, I love what you said because it's just so applicable to anybody who's basically selling anything.
Well, let me add something. I love that you just said that. And what I thought about as you were saying that, it reminded me of the early years of my career when I was selling voice, if you will, the way I thought it was supposed to be done, knowing I was not honoring my true gift. And it, right? Okay. So I thought people would think I was crazy, honestly, if I'm totally 100% true, because I could hear all these things. I didn't even realize it. And I thought, well, I can't say those things. I've got to do the typical thing that people do. And it was only when I said, and I walked away from it because I couldn't align with the way that I was doing it, knowing that I just intuitively knew that there was a whole nother way. And I walked away and no criticism against them. But I came back and I taught the way with my purpose. And that's when I found success.
And I think that's always the key, is that authenticity relative to who you are, how you want to sell, what you're selling and why. But once you get more in line with who you are, it's always a home run. So let's shift. Let's get into some nitty gritty. Let's get into some good stuff, which is what we really wanted to talk about, which is the voice side. Specifically, keeping in mind that most of the people here listening to the show are going to be in sales, maybe in marketing. Let's talk about voice. I mean, what are most people challenged with? What do you see as common things? Take the stage, capture it at this point here, and let's teach some people about what you've learned.
For sure. There are several very critical points that I want to talk about that are can dramatically shift things vocally for people in sales. What I have found over the years is that people do not realize the power of what their voice can do. And the work that I do, in fact, people will call it granular because I work in teeny tiny sounds. I don't believe in bad voices. I believe there are voices and I believe there are voices that aren't being maximized. So when we talk about sales, there are three main things that immediately come to my mind. And I'm just going to go and you cut me off if you want to talk about any of them in particular. But one of the first things I hear when I work with salespeople is they can be foreshadowing what they don't want. And it's literal sounds that I hear. And what it is they are bringing in the past. Let's say they got a no, they got a no, they got a no. They are bringing that in. It is in their voice and the subconscious of the listener, because I work in the subconscious of the listener. The subconscious of the listener hears those tiny sounds that say, I don't think you're going to buy, and they don't buy. We got to get in the now. It doesn't matter if you've had one no, 42 no's, you've got to get out of the past. You've got to get out of the future. You have to be in the now, in the conversation. That is the only way you have any voice power. And this is step one, really, in psychology of the voice. people get off in the future. People get off in the, I got to have this sale and I got to have this thing and I know what they're going to do and I got to think about what they're going to do. That's problematic as well. So first and foremost, stop foreshadowing what you don't want them to do, because I promise you their subconscious will pick it up and do it. That's one thing that's critical. Get in the now, have a conversation. The other thing is, I mentioned the future. So we've got outcome driven, we've got problem solvers. Those are great qualities. They make you successful. But when you're driving to that outcome and you're pushing to that outcome, and I'm here, you're there vocally, I can't connect. There is a tiny sound that tells me you're already down the tracks. And I don't even know where down the tracks is. So I want to be right here with you in a conversation out of your peripheral. You can know where we're going. You can be driving to it. You know the outcome. But vocally, I want you to be right here with me, because that is going to make me feel connected to you. So just those shifts alone, and they're tiny sounds in a voice that you wouldn't even notice. You might not have ever even thought about, but the listener subconscious knows it. They hear it and they feel it. They feel, I can't quite connect to this guy. I can't quite connect to this girl. I don't know. Let me think about it. I guarantee you is a connection problem.
I love it. And where I always go with that is trust issue. Whenever I hear somebody getting told, I need to think about it by a prospect or anybody, right? Send me more information. I need to research it. To me, that's a trust issue. They don't trust you. Hearing you talk about it, it's a trust where part of that trust is the connection, which is, I don't feel like we're in the same place and I don't feel connected and or trust. I think you could interchange both of those like in that kind of theme. And that's what's causing it. And I think what's most fascinating, and I say this all the time, where sales and selling is a lot like courtship and relationships. Sometimes people might not be able to see it from the outside when they're in sales and be like, well, that doesn't apply to me and I'm not doing that. But think about a time, like say a dating relationship, where one party was thinking way further ahead. Hey, I want to have kids and start a family. And the other person is just like, no, I'm here now and I am not ready for that. And that disconnect, and then the reaction and the, I need to think about it, and hey, I need my space, right? But that's what people do in sales as well. And they trigger those things.
For sure. And that trust element, I love that you said that. Trust is actually built in the melody of the voice. Science has come in and proven that, right? So if I'm driving to an outcome and all of a sudden I might be talking at you, I start pushing my words at you because I've got to get the sale and I've got to get somewhere. Now I'm repelling you.
Interesting.
I'm literally repelling you. You don't recognize it, but your subconscious starts backing up like what you said. Hold on a minute. I got to get out of here. Then we've got the emotional piece. You're an expert at persuasion and selling. So I know you know this, but the feeling, what am I making you feel? The world tells us, get the words right. You've got to get the words right. Everything is the words. And the words are important, right?
Right.
But how you wrap those words and make me feel, it's like you were saying that people, they want out of there because they don't feel like they know who you are. Did you make me feel like you could change my life? Did you make me feel that on an emotional level? In the professional world, words like that sometimes make people go, hold on a minute. Why no feeling here?
No but feeling.
It's not like, okay, now you have to go cry on the conference table. It's, are you inspiring me? Are you exciting me? Literal sounds in the voice do that. And what we tend to do, I believe that there are five elements of vocal variety. They show us who you are. People get too focused on the words. And then they use one element of vocal variety and they might have perfect words, but they're not making me feel anything.
Yeah. And one thing to point out, because it is interesting how much words like feeling and maybe emotion are things that most companies might not want to talk about, or most leaders, especially if I'm looking at the typical sales manager, sales leader, it's like, you know, it's not about feelings, it isn't about emotions, it's about results and metrics and closing deals, that kind of stuff. And that attitude, which is one subset of the like behaviors and personalities and whatnot. But I think the key is for a manager, someone in a company, someone who's in charge, down to the salesperson, whoever your customer is, it takes leadership to effectively move them forward, right? So obviously, if you're a leader in a company, that's leadership. People identify that. And it's way easier to be a leader that people want to follow, where you're pulling people along instead of pushing them, which is what you're talking about, which is feelings and emotions. Like if you look at any classic amazing leader type and names pop into everyone's heads when you think of that, it's feelings, it's emotions, and then it's actions, and it's all of that you're talking about. And then for salespeople, to be a really effective salesperson, you're a leader to your prospect, and then you're getting them to feel a certain way and have a certain emotion and follow you across the finish line instead of pushing them across the finish line.
Absolutely. And I love that you're talking my language. That's so exciting to me, right? I mean, I literally have the elements broken down into their push elements and there's pull elements. And there's times when maybe we do need the push elements. I'm not saying don't ever push again. That could be problematic. But what people don't maximize or even recognize is the pull elements, and that leaders generally are outcome driven. Again, great quality, but I'm not in the outcome. I'm right here. And the pull elements, what they do to the subconscious of the listener is they say you care. So the minute you use pull elements, my subconscious goes, oh, that guy cares about you. It's okay. We're good. We're good. Go ahead and listen to him. Maybe you want to work with him. And when we stay on one note, it's problematic, especially if it's a push element. But here's another thing that people may not have ever thought about or realized. Everybody has an aversion to one sound based on their psychology of the voice story. Mine happens to be loud. So if you're loud at me, 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 I'm out. I cannot handle it. And I'd researched this because people kept telling me they couldn't listen to this one particular sound. And I thought, okay, this is fascinating. Some people it's slow. Some people it's quiet. Some people it's fast. So if you stay on that one note, and let's say it's a push note, it's loud or fast or whatever, and you never change that, if that's my aversion, you have now lost a third of your potential audience that might and probably would buy from you.
I love it. Without having gone through any of this with you, I wonder if mine is slow. I struggle with hearing someone that's slow. In fact, I listen to podcasts at 1.5 to 2 times speed, and that sounds normal to me. So I wonder if that's it for me. And that's fascinating about the loud or the quiet or the slow or the fast and how that plays. So I really want to get tactical as well. So if we're talking specifically salespeople or sales leaders, what are the things you either advise or work with, or where can people start with this? Like, what's some tactical nitty gritty stuff?
Sure. First of all, start paying attention to what you do. Some of the things that we've talked about today, you've never even maybe thought about because you've been thinking about the words or thinking about the outcome. First and foremost, what do you do? Are you in the outcome? Are you dragging the past in? Are you present when you're talking to somebody, not thinking about getting the sale or not getting the sale? Get in the now and have a conversation. Literally, that sounds so simple, but that's the most critical step. Because the minute you start having a conversation with me, now you're talking to me, not at me. And when we're trying to get somewhere else, get people to an outcome or whatever it is, we can start that pushing. So have a conversation with me. Be in the now with me. That's one of the places that you can start. The next thing you can do is remember that we don't know what you know. And this is the plight of the expert for sure. I think you know what I'm talking about. So I'm just clipping along down the tracks. They don't know what you know. So we have to look at emphasis. Are you adding emphasis to the words that you need to stick out to me? Because I don't know what's important. I don't know what's important to you. I don't know what should be important to me. And a lot of times we take this for granted because we know what we're talking about. We think, of course, everybody knows what we're talking about. They don't. So if you're talking about benefits or value or really anything, what are you adding emphasis to? What do you want to jump out at me? And that's something I see. You know, we're trying to get away from this. Everything has the same value, because if everything has the same vocal value, well, I don't really know what's important. I don't really know what should jump out. I'm not going to feel anything per se, potentially. So look at emphasis and then start paying attention to, do you play one note? Is everything fast? Is everything slow? Is everything loud? And we want to start rolling in other elements. I believe that there are five elements of vocal variety. And when I talk about these things, I think sometimes it can get overwhelming to people. They start thinking that they have to think about all of these things. Actually, I don't want you thinking about anything, because the minute you get up in your head, your voice is not going to work. We need to be grounded in the message. So we've got these five elements of vocal variety, but I want to flip something else first that's tactical. Stop telling yourself you don't have the words. Stop believing that getting the words right is the slam dunk. What I have found is that when you get connected to the message, you have the perfect words. We go up in our head and we start thinking about, I've got to get all the words right. And then that creates a flat line in the voice. I want you to connect to the message. The message is in your heart. The voice is the orchestra of the heart. So start working from the place of, I really need them to know. I really need you to know blank. And when you work from that place, you have the most perfect words and your voice comes to life. So that's the organic way to get at these five elements of vocal variety without you thinking. Get in the now, release the outcome, have a conversation, and come from the place of, this is what I really want you to know. Then your voice goes to work.
I love that so much, especially for people in sales where when they're new and they're starting out, they have so many things to do. Like I've seen people who they're trying to take notes, they're reading from a script, they're asking questions, they're supposed to be listening, they're entering data into the computer, they're calculating, they're doing all these, they're using a phone. And usually what happens is the conversational speaking and listening is what comes last, right? Because you're just focused on all the other spinning plates. And what I've always told people is you will achieve sales success as soon as you no longer have to think about everything else. And you don't have to think about what you're going to say in that very moment. And you can just talk and have a conversation and then listen without thinking about what you're going to say next. Just listen, interact with another human, and then try to solve problems. Like once you can get to that mode, then you're off to the races.
Absolutely. And it doesn't mean all those other things can't exist, right? You can see them out of your periphery. Okay, I've got this checklist, but don't let them hear the checklist. And in the tiniest little sounds, the subconscious of the listener can feel it and hear it. I love that you said listen, because vocally, the voice shifts when you've listened and when you haven't. And that can affect the person subconsciously. If you're listening to me, or let's say I'm listening to you, I'm not thinking about what I'm going to say. When I go to talk to you after I've listened, my sound is going to have a softer edge. If I haven't listened because I'm already ready to say what I need to say, I'm going to have an angular edge. And so that's the difference in holding a ball versus holding a metal box. What would you rather hold? What's going to be easier to hold? A ball.
Yeah.
Right. And that's all going down subconsciously. And the listeners, they're hearing all that, maybe don't recognize it. They may have a feeling like, I don't know about this guy or this girl. But even with scripts, I'm glad you mentioned scripts because so many people work off of a script. No problem with that, but don't read it, because the minute you read it, now you've gone up into your head and now everything has a calculated cadence and I cannot connect to that. You can still be reading it, but it's still a conversation.
And as you're talking, I think I do a good job with this, the listening and asking questions and being present. And I'm just wondering if I actually am, especially like you said, I mean, I feel like I do a good job asking questions, listening, and then thinking about it and taking it in and then responding. But I also know there's times where I'm listening, I get caught in that where it's like, oh yeah, I'm excited. I want to add this to it. It's not that I'm missing the rest of it, but it's just that I can see that hard angular edge where it's like, especially with my brain, because it's just fast. I'm just like, okay, as soon as you're done, I'm listened. It's great. And I'm excited and I'm going 1,000 miles an hour with you.
You do a great job. And there's a difference in excitement. Oh, I want to tell you this. I got to hold on. I got to, you know, there's a difference in that. And it's a tiny sound. And okay, I'm trying to talk over here.
Got it.
There's a difference and we feel it. We feel that excitement. We feel that passion. We share that. But I also feel it very clearly. We all have experienced it when they clearly weren't listening to us. It's a feeling, right? You know, it's like, you didn't even listen to me.
Okay, no, that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, no, you're doing great.
It's always the excitement side. And that's what I always work with salespeople on. Because what happens is they're thinking about what they're going to say next, where they're going to go next. They're living in the future, like you said, right? Yes. Instead of the present. They're down the road and they're hoping to drag that person along with them instead of literally listening and picking up what's being said. Now, one thing that I'm curious about from your expert, voice expert, coach, master, doing it for as long as you have been. One thing that always comes up in the selling and persuasion community is mirroring. So mirroring how the other person talks, mirroring their voice or their tone or their pace. I have my thoughts on it. Where do you see that? What's your take on the mirroring?
How did I know you were going to bring that one up? And I'm glad you did, because I tend to differ from what a lot of people say. And I'm really curious to hear what you say. I stand in the middle on this. I'm not going to say absolutely do it, because here's the thing. Water will seek its own level vocally. Just a second ago, we were talking about excitement. Excitement is vocal energy. Vocal energy and excitement is inspiration. That is probably what you want your potential buyer to feel. If your potential buyer comes in like this, you're going to do one or two things. If you met, you're going to either go down to their level or you're going to bring them up to your level. You will bring them up to your level because water seeks its own level vocally. So I never recommend meeting the lower vocal energy person. But here's the true answer of what I like to see people do. We tend to try to control the outcome. But what I like is for you to control the conversation. So even if they're revved up and excited, you can match that. I am okay with matching that, but do not stay there. Where do you want to take the conversation next? Because if you stay at push the whole time, which is a more revved up feel sound, you've missed a golden opportunity to subconsciously tell me how much you care about me. So it's like driving a 5-speed. We can't stay in fifth gear all the time. Sometimes we have to go down to third and then back up to fifth. In a nutshell, don't drop your voice down to the low level. Bring them up to you. But if you start at the high level, you can match them. But where else are you going to take me on this journey? What else are you going to create for me in this experience? Because I'm going to go wherever you lead me vocally.
I love the manual gear shifting analogy. Hopefully most people listening to this know what that is. I know most cars don't have stick shifts anymore like they used to. Like, I'm guessing you probably learned
Sure.
I learned on when I was driving. I still remember the first time I was practicing driving on the road and stalled in front of a city transit bus that was honking behind me at a light. Literally remember that. And that was a long time ago. Anyway, I think that's great, because I think what happens with the mirroring advice, especially if it's taken in the wrong way or used in the wrong way, is that people are trying to do that. They want to go from California to New York, right, on a road trip. Their prospect is in first gear and warming up. So like, okay, cool, I'll go into first gear and I'll mirror you. And then you're never going to get there, or you're going to burn out the engine. It's just not going to work. And it's a process. You got to go back and forth. And I completely agree. I mean, I think if you match somebody where they're at, and that's what you're going for, and what I focus on, which is the authentic persuasion piece, is that if it's not authentic for you, it's not going to feel right. And I guarantee, at least in my experience, it's not going to build that trust. It's not going to do what you're saying to do with your voice, which is to get them to trust you. It's going to trigger things like, I need to think about it, because wait, why are you down here? This doesn't feel right. Or why are you way up here? Like, I'm super amped. Now you're pretending to be amped. I can tell you don't care. Like, I tell you, you're not that excited, right?
Right. And we can hear that it's not really you subconsciously. Yeah. I call it tentacles out. And I believe it's giving your power away. I'm letting you decide what the best version of me is. No. And I hear people now, of course, with Zoom and everything. What's my video version? What do you mean, what's your video version? We're always want the best version of you. Don't let them decide what you get to be. Hold the power. This is who I am. You come for Thanksgiving dinner. You work with me. This is who I am. Right. And that's what we want all the time. Now, again, I'm still driving the same car and I can shift that gear, but I'm not changing because of what I think you want me to be. That's not authentic.
And if we're talking about the gear shifting and we're going on a long road trip and I'm taking you with me, I know where we're going. We're going to get there. I'm in charge of where we're going and I can fluctuate the speed based on the conditions. Maybe it's a road hazard. Maybe it's a construction zone. Maybe it's a windy road. I'm still in charge. I know where we're going and I'm going to take you with me. And I think that's so important for me. What I see with the advice for mirroring and the people who focus on that a lot, and this is just my opinion, is they're using the mirroring strategy as a crutch to build trust because they're not building it in other ways. So it's like, hey, if I get you to like me because I sound like you or my accent's like you or my tone is like you or these things, that will help bridge that gap between liking me and wanting to do business with me because you may not trust me, which is why I have to be inauthentic. I have to mirror you. Instead of what I always tell people is you don't want to be too far ahead of somebody. If somebody is really slow and you're in fifth gear going 100 miles an hour, it won't work. You want to be above them. You're in charge. They need your help. You're the one leading them. And then you just want to keep ramping it up and get to where you need to get to. So you want to be conscious of it, but still authentic.
For sure. Because if you're not high energy, don't come in at high energy. What's a higher vocal energy of you? Because even when we talk about video, we want to elevate our vocal energy a little bit, but we don't want to become like this guy. No, because that's not real. So you want, again, it goes back to that best version of you. But as long as you're shifting the gears, I love that. Like you talk about the road trip, you're controlling the conversation then. So if you want to get a little more excited about something because you're more excited about it, great. But you have to feel that. It can't be, well, I'm just doing this because I think I'm supposed to, right?
Yeah. Just when you say that, sounds so terrible. It's funny because I use all the time going into that mode as a salesperson and just the triggers that happens. Just when you do that and it's not authentic, what that triggers in our subconscious, long-term primal parts of our brain that's always worried about danger. It's like something doesn't feel right. Something isn't vibing with what I'm expecting. I'm expecting this from you. You're giving me this. This seems weird. I thought you were trying to help me. Now you're over here. And like, now I need to think about it, right? Like literally that's the evolution of what happens with that.
Yeah. And it goes back to that connection. And we all have shades of all of these things within us, right? I tend to be high energy. This is really who I am. That doesn't mean that I don't get introspective sometimes. And it really goes back in a technical sense. We all have push and pull. What is your degree of push and pull? And how am I going to deliver my degree of push and pull? But I'm still delivering me. I'm not being what I think you want me to be, because the bottom line is I don't know what you want me to be unless I ask you. And we don't. So why do we pretend like, oh, well, he must want me to be. This is vocal masks, right? And I see this classic, I'll put up my people pleaser mask. And so I don't deliver anything. You don't understand who I really am because I'm playing it safe because I want to be what I think you want me to be, but I have no idea what you want me to be.
Interesting.
And then I lose the deal. Literally worked with a gal, was losing $1 million deals because she had a people pleaser mask. They're over there thinking, well, this girl's not passionate enough to do this work. Boom.
Yeah. And she's just coming across as a people pleasing order taker. And that's not what they want.
That's right.
They want a professional.
That's right. They wanted somebody passionate. So she was losing deals by not delivering the best version of who she was. Now, again, it goes back to that. She couldn't go in and be fake passion or fake revved up. But what is the best version of her to deliver who she really is?
Now, one other thing that I know comes up a lot, especially if we're talking about sales, and keeping in mind, I say this all the time, everything in life is sales. So even if you're an employee and you're on a team, you're not in a sales role, you don't have sales in your title or job description, you're always selling and persuading somebody, either your coworkers around you, your boss to go with your ideas, whatever that looks like. So it's all relative to sales. But is the confidence piece and confidence in the voice and in what you say and do, and then also where like filler words and stumbling and that kind of stuff fits in your experience, either where it comes from and or what to do about it, more importantly.
Sure. So filler words are retrieval. Everything is a voice habit. It either works for you or it doesn't. And it comes from a story in your head. So there might be a story in your head that says, I've got to get these words right if I'm going to get this deal, or I don't know what I'm even going to say. The danger of going up into your head is the minute you go up into your head, you have now disconnected from your heart. Isn't it interesting? They call it flatlining. And the minute you do, we don't like that pause, so we fill the pause. So I'm going up into my head. There's a lot of advice out there. The fastest, easiest fix for stop retrieving your words. If you have to go up to think about something, simply pause. We've got to get comfortable in the pause is the bottom line. And that is the place that people squirm the most, is in the pause. Because now all of a sudden you're really listening to me, or you're really looking at me, or I'm really not in control anymore. But we have to just stop and think and get our word, or say, hold on a minute, I have to think about that and get the word. But and fillers are retrieval. That's what they truly are. Now, when it comes to confidence, again, it goes back to being in the now. The technique I teach people is, it is a fact that I have a black sweater on almost every day. I love black sweaters. I talk like what I say is a fact, as if I believe in it, like the fact that I wear a black sweater all the time. We don't put things out. We don't boldly own like it's a fact. We can't when we're in the past or the future. In the past, there was that time that that guy told me no, and then it could happen again, and then I get all off in the future. I don't know. You might say no. You might judge. You might think, I don't know what I'm talking about. That immediately, past or future, puts a hesitation in the voice. You are not confident now. We have to come from the place of vocally, I believe in what I'm talking about. Even when we don't know, we must confidently say, that's a great question. I have to think about that for a minute. But it all comes from being in the now. I'm a real mindset person in this stuff. There's a driver in there. It's all coming from the mind. I have to start to trust that I know what I'm talking about. If I do, I have to start trusting that I'm going to have the words. I have to start showing grace to myself and remove this pressure of, I got to get this just right, because I think you're expecting me to say something or do something and I may not get it. There's no way that we can confidently express ourselves without being in the now and boldly owning it like it's a fact.
I did Toastmasters years and years ago, when I realized sales and sales training was public speaking in some form. And I'm like, I don't think I'm good at it. Let me see if I can get better. Let me do Toastmasters. Did it for a few years. One of the things with Toastmasters, in every meeting, there's people who volunteer for different roles. And for anyone listening to this, if you haven't ever gone to Toastmasters or joined it, even right now, this day and age with 2020, they're doing it virtual. I'm part of a club that does it virtual. So make sure you do it. It's so important for your speaking, for your confidence, for your just ability to do that on the fly or scripted and planned out. One of the roles every meeting is what's called an awe counter, where literally they're listening to your speech and counting all of your filler words. And I remember one guy, his biggest advice is filler words happen because your mouth is moving faster than your brain. And so your mouth is trying to, like you said, fill in those pauses. We don't like gaps. We don't like silence. We think we have to always say something and have the answer and have something to talk about.
Right.
And instead, the key is, like you said, is if you have to get in your mind, slow down, right? If you've got to go into your head to pull information and know what you're going to talk about, like you said, I loved it. That's fine. Just slow down, pause, collect yourself, or just go slower If I'm thinking about stuff and I'm going super fast, I hate hearing it because I know it's a hot mess. If you're just speaking from the heart and just from just what you know that you know, then you can go a mile a minute because you're just pulling it from another source. So I love that. That's such great advice.
Well, and I think it goes back to that trusting. I work with a lot of people, their brain works faster than their mouth, and that's okay. But it's about getting to that place of, I can have high vocal energy and I can be a revved up person, but I also come from the place of trusting that I'm going to have those words. I'm going to have the exact right words. And if I don't, I'll cross that bridge when I get there, but I'm not braced for it. I'm not going to hurry up and say all the things because I'm afraid I'm going to forget the things. I know that I'm going to say all the things that I need to say today.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like that's the mode I get into, especially when I'm doing my solo podcasts or doing any training. Mm-hmm. I just hit record and I go, and then I just know whatever's going to come out is going to be the right stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't judge. And obviously I have an intention and a goal. And then I let it flow and I trust that that's the right message and the right thing to say at that moment. Like you said earlier about in the conversation, that what you're going to say is what needs to be said,
right,
is what they need to hear, right?
Right. And a lot of people, far too many people, don't work from that place. And I hate that because they don't have inner freedom. They are locked up, braced for, well, if they say this, then I'm going to say that. And if I say it like this, then I would, oh my gosh. Let that go. Release the grip, because that grip is coming out in your voice and it's pushing me away.
Yeah.
So we start self-sabotaging through our voice and don't even realize it.
Well, that's a perfect segue to go into the next set of things I want to chat about. What does it mean to you to be authentic?
To be in the now and release the outcome and show me who you really are and not unabashedly be okay with that.
I love that last part, especially, which is be okay with that.
Yeah. I want to let you know who I am and how I feel. And I'm okay with that. And if you don't like that, I'm okay with that. And that's where the disconnect is, because the truth of the matter is, I can't make you like me. I cannot control that outcome. All I can do is give you 110% of the best version of me in this moment. That to me is authentic. And if you like me, great. If you don't, well, that's okay too.
Love it. What about when you hear the word persuasion or think about persuasion?
Make me feel something. Make me feel you can change my life. Make me feel like you get me. Make me feel like you're the one that can help me, because you're connected. You get me.
With relative, and I know that you've touched on this many times, so it might be a repeat, but what is something that the people you're working with that are in some kind of sales or leadership role, sales leadership, what are they doing well from a tactical, practical mindset standpoint? Like, what are you seeing working right now for people?
I love that question. One of the biggest things, and I have probably said this ad nauseum, is I got them out of the outcome. I got them to stop thinking about, okay, crunching numbers in their head. And if I get this, and got them in the now and just having a conversation. And the second piece, when we talk about authenticity, one of the things that people tend to not do is show me bits of you, is what I call it. So the people that are doubling and tripling their sales, they're showing me bits of you. And bits of you is, what do you do? Do you snort laugh? Do you squeal? Do you go really fast? All those things show me who you really are. And that goes back to, you snort laugh too? Oh my gosh, I do. And now we're connected. And now we're playing on a whole different level beyond the words of what you're trying to sell me. So those are two things that are game changing for my people.
That's amazing. And it totally fits into, like, a lot of times people ask me for advice or want to know the one thing. What's the one trick? What can I do to make... And if I had to boil it down to one, when people push me, especially on podcasts, when they're asking me that question, I always tell them, do the opposite of what you think salespeople are supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Just do the opposite, which means, like you just said, the bits of you, like if you laugh or you talk fast or you get excited or you snort when you laugh, then just do that and be a human. People want to buy from a human. They're going to trust a human. They're not going to trust what you think a salesperson should be doing. That's the problem with sales in general.
Right? It's identity. It's, oh, I identify with that. Oh, I like that. It's about identity. It goes back to that. Okay, you can have the most perfect words, but what's really going to kick this thing off is if I feel an identification with you. And that might be like, we both have high vocal energy. Well, I identify with that. Oh my gosh, I get you. You get me, you know? And those are the things that really take it to the next level.
Yeah. I mean, literally before we hit record, for anyone that's ever done podcasting, usually you're talking a little bit and then you hit record. We were like 17 minutes into the conversation. We're like, oh man, we should have hit record a while ago. This was so good. We were just on a roll. And so I think that's important for business owners, business leaders. What can they do to help shift their people? Like, how can they support this in their people? Short of hiring someone like you, what are some tactical things they can start working on right now?
One of the things that I see a lot, and this is going in a totally different direction than things that we've talked about, is a lot of times, and sometimes example is the best way for me to talk. So I'll give you an example and then I'll break it down. A leader came to me and said, I can't get this guy to do what I need him to do. And I said, okay, let me hear how you're saying to him to do it. And he said it. And I said, you don't believe he can do it. And he said, no, I don't. And I said, he's hearing that in your voice subconsciously. You're bringing that in. And what that comes from is we perceive we're being direct and we are not. What we're actually doing is dumping raw emotion into the tone. The subconscious of the listener will not tolerate raw emotion. So the minute you bring that tone in and foreshadow that you don't believe I can do it because that's what you believe, I've shut down. So I never even heard you say it. And you said it over and over and over, but you brought that raw emotion in and my subconscious will not listen to that. People fear being direct. They think, well, people are going to be maybe not everybody fears direct, but people are concerned about that. I'm already this direct. You very well may not be. You may not be directly saying what it is you need to say. You may have that raw emotion. So what I suggest is that you actually say what it is you need to say, but get the emotion out of your tone. I call it honey versus vinegar. I'm from the South. And we have an old saying, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. And I literally created this technique around that. I don't want negative emotion, vinegar, in my tone when I ask you to do something. I am going to work from the now, from the place. And I also have another thing I do called act as if it's done. I'm going to talk to you as if it is going to be done. I'm not going to talk to you and ask you again without really saying, why haven't you done this? But it's in my tone. So directly say what it is you need to say, but work from a place of neutrality vocally, and you will get more of what you want. In addition, people want to feel like they're a part of it. When you are talking towards the outcome, you're in the end, you're talking at people, they are subconsciously thinking, why do I even matter here? I know you're asking me what my opinion is, but you're saying it in such a way you've already decided. Get back in that now and have a conversation directly with no emotion and no raw negative emotion in your voice. That will dramatically change what you get out of people.
And just like what we talked about before, same advice, business leaders. I love it, especially that tone example where it's like, want you to do something. I just already don't believe you can do it. I don't trust you anymore. Like I've lost faith in you. And that comes through. Same thing that salespeople do, right? If you don't believe in what you're selling, or you don't think this person's going to buy, or you're prejudging, or there's something off, like, oh, people like this never buy. You put that out there. It comes in your tone. People can pick up, like animals can sense fear. People can pick up on those little things that you can't unless you really listen to yourself. And then it's over. Like it's just over. You're not going to get you want out of that other person towards some goal.
100%. The second the tone comes out, like when you call somebody and you say, how you doing? Oh, good. How are you? Not giving a slight pause there. It already tells me you're down the tracks. And I subconsciously go, you don't care how I'm doing. Why'd you even ask? Littlest, tiniest sounds, indifference, not buying in, all those things you're talking about, it's spot on and it's very specific sounds that the subconscious of that buyer goes, nope, not buying it.
That's so great. Shifting one more time. So before you decide to go into what was it, like 12 years old, where you started kind of speaking and getting into that. Prior to that, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I wanted to be an actor. Yeah, I started acting and speaking at a very young age because that gave me a platform to use my voice. I had this extreme version of nobody says anything at home, and I needed to be heard. And I did work as an actor. I made my living doing television commercials.
That's awesome.
But that was the time when people kept finding me to coach their voices, and people kept hiring me to teach voice in their conservatories, and businesses were finding me. And I'm thinking, what is this voice thing? But that's what I really wanted to do. But I wouldn't trade this work for anything.
I love it. Perfect segue into the next one, which is, what's your definition of success?
How many lives did I dramatically impact in a positive way before I leave this planet?
That's perfect. I mean, obviously, I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's great. And I appreciate that for you. And what I enjoy and appreciate about you is that I feel like that's very true. That comes across very much in this conversation. That's awesome. Last question, the journey or the destination?
Oh, the journey, 100%. The negative parts of the journey, the positive parts, the struggles, the challenges, the thrills, every piece of it. I wouldn't change a minute of it.
Love it. Well, Tracy, thank you for being on the show, for sharing this amazing information and just wisdom about the voice. Hopefully salespeople, anybody listening to this, even managers, leaders. So for people to find you and the work that you're doing, you're on LinkedIn, you're on all the other social media platforms, they can find you there. For anyone listening or watching, go to Captivate the Room and see Tracy's website. Your program is called Psychology of the Voice, registered, trademark. I love it that you've just gone all in on that. Tracy, thanks again for sharing all of this with the Authentic Persuasion crew.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed this conversation so much.
Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.